Welcome back, movie lovers. I'm Josh.
I'm Chris.
And with our powers combined, we are
Garner Brothers Movie Lovers. It's a fancy new mic you got there.
Yeah, I have a new mic because of that comment from the last video. Did you see the
comment
from the last video?
I did.
Yeah, so I think actually that I've just been picking up audio this whole time from the camera. I don't think I've had a working mic this whole entire time. And the way I discovered that is when I bought this one has a light on it to indicate when it's working. The other one did not. The other one was like $6. I got it at Ross. So I bought this one and I wasn't sure it was going to work with the stuff I had unless I bought an adapter, but I thought I think the old plug I had with the old mic will work because it had the same piece in the back. So I plugged it in and the light never came on and I just thought, it's supposed to be getting power from my phone, but I've been connecting it with something that's only able to transfer audio, not to transfer power. So I've just had a fake mic on the table for so long that's just not been doing anything. So here we are. I have a mic that works now. Anyway, we're back to record a video of a review for a movie as usual. So like this video and we'll get started. Today, we are reviewing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. This is a sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife. We are picking back up where we left off. They're away from that little town, and now they're back to New York City, and they're busting ghosts left and right out there on the streets of New York City. My gosh. McKenna Grace doesn't look anything like her character in this movie.
It's true.
But anyway, McKenna Grace, she's the lead and she is struggling to find her place as she's not allowed to be a Ghostbuster anymore. But that's all she ever wanted to do was be a Ghostbuster. But she's an adolescent child and she's not legally allowed to. And they've been using her as child slave labor up until now. So the city officials say, actually, we don't like child slave labor and you should probably stop doing that. Which is the only thing I agree with the city officials in this movie. So, obviously, there's like an ancient relic and there's an evil ghost that's gonna destroy the world.
Obviously. The film is directed by Gil Keenan, stars McKenna Grace and Paul Rudd and Carrie Coon and Finn Wolfhard and Kumail Nanjiani and Patton Oswalt and Celeste O'Connor and Logan Kim and Emily Allen Lind and James Acaster and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson, and they all get about an equal amount of screen time, which, no, not really. Some of them are only on for a scene, but it feels like the movie is stretched pretty thin between all those characters.
It does feel like that. Wow, man, Ernie Hudson has aged well, hasn't he?
He has.
Bill Murray looks like if you just blew too hard on him with your breath, he might fall over. Dan Aykroyd's looking pretty old too, not as old as Bill Murray. Yeah, those people are in the movie, aren't they? What about the soundtrack? I did not notice a single thing about the soundtrack in this movie.
Neither did I, but it's by Dario Marianelli, who is not the composer of the previous film. Previous film was composed by Rob Simonson. And his music, I actually noticed a lot.
Yeah, me too.
In that film. Because he was channeling so many of the original Ghostbusters themes and that sound. I thought that score was really fun. This one might be. I need to listen to it away from the film, but I actually didn't notice it in the film hardly at all.
Yeah, I definitely didn't notice it at all, which is what some people think a soundtrack should be, but those people are wrong.
Maybe if I paid more attention to it, I would notice it more. I don't know. Dario Marianelli is a wonderful composer. I really like him a lot.
Okay.
And I was happy to see that he was assigned to this film. So I will definitely listen to it again and see how it plays. But But I didn't notice it nearly as much as the last one.
So as far as things that I liked about the movie, I did like the way that the conflict was structured around the containment unit. It's kind of a problem waiting to happen that they just seemed to ignore in previous movies, that they kind of based the entire conflict of this movie around. I thought that was a clever way to structure the movie. I thought that worked well.
I enjoyed Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, yeah.
I think he is always very likable and usually the best part of any film he's in.
Yep.
And that is true of this film too.
Absolutely. He's super fun in this movie. And the stuff they did with his character was actually not just silly, it was pretty interesting.
He may be the only character in this film that learns anything.
Yeah, I was thinking about that at the end of the movie. What did Phoebe Spangler learn from this adventure?
Don't trust ghosts, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if she learned anything else.
Uh-oh.
What's uh-oh?
My light just went out. One of my lights. Give me a moment, please.
I don't know if you remember, but we had lights going out the last Ghostbusters movie we reviewed.
Oh my gosh, you are right. There was actual ghosts on the last video.
And apparently there are
again. And there's actual ghosts this time. Oh my gosh. And not only that, we recorded the last video of Ghostbusters twice. Do you remember that?
No. Oh,
we had issues
right.
with it the first time. And the first time there was a weird thing that happened.
Yeah.
There was a weird thing that happened the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we don't have the footage of that weird spooky thing that happened when we recorded the video. That's so disappointing. And then it happened in the second recording again. That is crazy. That's just wild. Oh, wow. Ghosts are real for sure.
Well, was there anything else you liked about the movie?
Yeah, so I thought the way that Melody, the friendly ghost.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess I can't really talk about it. I liked something they did with her character. If people care about spoilers, I can't really talk about it. So I thought actually that there was some pretty good usage of giving your protagonists the tools that they need to solve the problems in the movie beforehand. However, it actually kind of became a little too convenient at the end of the movie. And we'll talk about some of that later in the spoiler section. So stick around for the spoiler section. What about some not so great stuff?
There's just too much going on in this movie, and at the same time, not enough. It's a very busy movie with a ton of people doing a ton of things in a ton of different places, and they all seem very busy and like a lot of things are happening. But, you know, I checked my watch 45 minutes into the film and I was like, nothing's really happening.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't even gotten into the real story yet.
When Patton Oswalt's character showed up and he kind of told them about Garaka, I was just like, we're like halfway through this movie and we're just now learning about the bad guy. What have we been doing this whole time? So yeah, I kind of agree with that. I also think that Garaka was almost a really cool ghost bad guy. But there was a lot of instances in this movie of them telling us how awesome the movie is instead of showing us how awesome the movie is or telling us how scary the ghost is without actually showing us how scary the ghost is. So the very first scene of the movie, they show you how scary the ghost is.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a super scary scene.
It's probably the best scene in the film.
You see all those guys. Oh, man. That scene, I was like, I can't wait to see this ghost do this to people. It is so scary. The hand is still twisting. No! I don't know what's happening. The freaking ghosts, man. They're ruining the video. Hold on. So the hand still twisting, that clay deal, and the look on those guys' faces dying of actual fear. It was so scary. And Dan Aykroyd's like, he really is the scariest thing ever. Let me tell you why. And then Patton Oswalt's like, ooh, he's so cool. It immediately becomes less cool when you tell us how cool it is. The same thing was true when Phoebe goes, I've got a ghost to
bust. And then Paul Rudd's like, oh, that was cool. It was just so cool the way she said that was so cool. And I was like, shut up. It wasn't cool, and now it's worse because you said it was cool. Anyways, just like show us something cool instead of telling us how cool it is. Just show us something scary. Remember the first scene? Good. And then he shows up and he doesn't kill anyone. We needed a scene where, remember that blonde Ghostbuster guy who shows up and he's like, I work for the better Ghostbusters unit and I have all the cool equipment and I'm gonna be in a couple of scenes here and there.
Uh-huh.
That dude should have got super owned by the ghost. There should have been a scene where that guy and maybe some other nobodies and maybe one of the original cast members or something, throw Bill Murray in there and kill him. Doesn't seem like he cares too much about these movies anymore. Have him kill some characters that matter and have it be super scary when it happens. Recreate that first scene, what they saw that was so scary when they died in that moment.
You're right. He's not a very scary ghost. Oh, I just also feel like none of the characters have much of an arc. Because there are so many characters and because so many little things are going on with all of them, I don't feel like any big thing happens to any of them. Like Paul Rudd maybe makes some progress becoming more of a father figure. I don't think the mom does anything. Finn Wolfhard is barely in the movie. Even McKenna Grace, who probably has the most screen time, I'm honestly not sure what, if anything, she learned or how her character changed as a result of the films.
Yeah. I kind of feel like the last movie, they were leaning really heavily on nostalgia to bring it back to what we know and love about Ghostbusters. And that's fine. I'm fine with them doing that. But then the sequel needs to depart from that and be its own thing. And I feel like they kind of had a hard time maybe doing that in this movie. They didn't really commit to the new cast. Trying to add all these different characters and still hold on to the old characters. There was several instances of, remember the ghost in the library? This is Ghostbusters. Do you like it? Do you remember Slimer? He's really slimy and green. It's still the puppet Slimer. Do you like it? It's Ghostbusters. And it didn't land nearly as well as it did in the first one. I was really hoping for it to be its own thing this time. And I just felt like they had a hard time letting it go and being its own thing.
Yeah. I thought the last film was better than this one.
Oh, yeah.
The last film just did a better job telling a story and laying out the characters. But if all you require from your nostalgia bait movies, if you just want to see the original Ghostbusters on screen a bit, and you do get to see Dan Aykroyd quite a bit in this movie, actually. And if you, you know, you want to see Slimer and you want to see Ecto-1 and you want to see Proton Packs, well, you're going to get to see all of that. So, like, if that's all you want from a Ghostbusters movie, then this will be fine for you. But the story didn't move me. None of the characters moved me. I thought in the previous film, a lot of the characters were endearing and fun to watch, and especially McKenna Grace's character. I thought she was really endearing in the first film. It's no slight on her acting in this film. She did fine, but I felt like her character wasn't written very compellingly for this movie.
It was just an angsty teenager who was like, I don't get what I want. I'm going to rebel and cause all these problems. And then at the end of the movie, I'll get what I want and learn nothing.
Yeah, the whole resolution of the film, I don't know, we can talk about it in spoilers, but I felt like the whole resolution of the film doesn't really work. And some of the conflict in the film could have been resolved easily if everyone had just sat down and had a conversation. But instead, everyone just like jumped to judgment and then immediately imposed consequences. And anytime that happens in a movie, it's kind of like, okay, well, this is, you know, this is bad writing.
Yeah.
The whole conflict at the end, I felt like rather than celebrating that the Ghostbusters saved the day, maybe people should be asking, how did all of this happen? Was it in fact the Ghostbusters' fault? And the answer is yes, yes, it was.
Yeah, that's a thing I was going to bring up as well. Throughout the movie, the Ghostbusters are catching ghosts and saving the city from just absolute obliteration, and everyone hates them for it. The city officials are super unreasonable. They're like, look at all this property damage you caused. And Paul Rudd rightly is like, yeah, but you can't have a freaking dragon running around Manhattan, destroying everything. And he's like, you're in trouble. No, he's right. You can't just have a dragon in New York City. That's bad. He saved the city. Yeah. And then the same when Phoebe's fighting the statue, right? The ghost possesses the cement statue of a lion, which is destroying property. And it is lunging through the air, trying to kill Phoebe. And in self-defense, she destroys it, as she should have. And then the whole city's like, you know what you did? You destroyed reading for all the children in New York City because you killed the cement lion in front of the library. So way to go.
Dan Aykroyd gets chewed out for that scene too. And that's the conflict I'm talking about. When I'm like, no, let's just talk. Let's have a conversation and explain what happened. And then you'll see this is not actually a reason to get all mad at them.
Yeah. And then at the end, when it is their fault,
everybody's congratulating them on saving the city.
Hooray, we love you. And I was like, this movie doesn't make any sense at all.
And it's also ignoring one of the major things that happened in the climax, that the city is much worse off at the end of the movie than they would lead you to believe. But we can talk more about that in spoilers.
That's true. Okay, I think that pretty much covers everything I wanted to talk about, non-spoilery. Let's rate the movie. It's time for Good, Fine, Bad.
Good!
Fine.
Good. Bad.
Fine.
That's bad.
That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Chris, what'd you think? Good, fine, bad.
I think it's kind of bad. I mean, I want to say it's fine, but it kind of isn't. There's some things about it that I'm not okay with. So it's somewhere between bad and fine. I don't know.
I have a solution. You rate it bad and I'll rate it fine. And now it will be somewhere between the two.
Very good.
So there you have it.
It just feels to me like so many big franchise movies these days. All the Marvel and all the DC films, the Star Wars stuff, all the streaming shows, they're churning them out. It just feels like that. It just feels like more of that.
No substance at all.
There's just a whole bunch of content being created that's just not very good.
And it's all just legacy sequels and friggin' remakes, and it's just totally based on nostalgia, and it's all done in a bad way, because nostalgia can be used as a good tool, and it has been, but this is not an example of that.
There are some great examples of that in all of this. It's not like everything that's being produced is bad. Andor was phenomenal, and so far I've only seen two episodes, but X-Men 97, that's how you do nostalgia, right?
Right.
That show is pretty great. So
last time I checked, it had 100%.
I think it's probably the best thing Marvel's produced since Spider-Man No Way Home.
Well, maybe there's hope for the live action X-Men after all, but probably not.
Probably not.
Okay. Well, everyone, we're done with the non-spoiler section of this review. So we're going to jump into spoilers now. And if you don't want to be spoiled for this super average movie, then you should leave. But if you don't care because this movie is not that good and you won't go see it in theaters because it's not very good and this movie doesn't deserve to make a lot of money and you're going to wait for it to come out to streaming like you should, then you can stick around and listen to our spoiler section. So thanks for staying and let's get started. Let's start with the good stuff again, and then we'll jump into the bad stuff. There used to be ghost hunters in ancient days, right? And they would capture ghosts in different methods than modern day ghost hunters do. And the stuff that they would use was, they would use brass containment things. And they realized that their proton packs don't work against this ancient ghost, and that they need to use something different. And after they have discovered that the ancient ghost hunters used brass, they convert their proton packs to use the brass, and they have brass poles all over their firefighter home to convert their proton packs to do that. And I thought that was pretty clever. And then I also really liked that Melody had a match that she used in her life to accidentally burn down her home. And I don't know, did she kill her family or something with that?
Seems it was like awful, kind of
tragic
like it.
Story.
Yeah.
It was like an item that had something to do with her unfinished business. It was a mystery to her how she was supposed to use it to
move on.
And then at the end of the movie, they're not able to make the fire because the Zippo lighter runs out of fluid because Neon Johnny has has practiced too much and used all the lighter fluid. She realizes she can start the match and they can use the fire to fight the super lame bad guy.
That was the one bit of setup and payoff that I thought they did well. That was well done. What was not well done was somehow we can turn the containment unit into a giant trap that will just soak the ghost up at the end. Like, that is the laziest writing.
That was the part I was talking about.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd's trying to explain it, and then Bill Murray's like, look, we just trust you, just do it. And I'm like, so there's no explanation. And they're just gonna say, this works, because Dan Aykroyd says it does. He pushes the right buttons, and they all pull really hard on the lever together. And then they get the lever down, and for some reason, the giant crack in the containment unit sucks in the monster and then closes itself. What?
And we're just going to ignore the fact that every ghost that was captured since 1984 is now loose
in New York City.
Every single one of them is out.
That's what you were talking about when you said that the city's way worse now.
But as soon as the ghost is in the containment unit, Bill Murray looks up at the green light and he's like, and the world is at peace. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's probably worse out there than it's ever been.
Yeah, great. Super good. Hooray, Ghostbusters. Yeah. You've done it again.
Indeed. It's not like these movies were ever, like, amazing as far as the storytelling goes, right? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't have a huge fondness for Ghostbusters.
I watched the cartoon all the time. I loved the cartoon show when I was a kid. I had all the toys. I was a huge Ghostbusters fan. I loved it. But the actual movies are not that good.
Yeah, I think people will hate us for saying that. But I agree, they are not that good.
They're okay, but if you go back and, I mean, if it's been a long time since you've seen the original Ghostbusters film, and you're like, I'm going to show this to my kids, don't do that. There's a lot in that movie that is not appropriate for children. You should just watch it again before you show it to the kids and make sure you know what you're going to show them.
Are there any other spoilery things we need to talk about?
There's a mid-credit scene you absolutely don't have to stay for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say... oh, my gosh. I don't even know what to... I think we should need to be done soon. This is crazy. Hold on. Okay. Quickly before the lights go out, because the ghosts keep on possessing them, we're going to wrap up this review. Don't bother going to see this one. Unless you're a big Ghostbusters fan, then you can go. It's fine, because all the Ghostbusters movies are not that good, too.
I will say that I think all the others are better than this one, although I didn't see the 2016 Ghostbusters, so I don't know.
Yep. Okay, I think we're done. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll catch you next time.